Are you blessed and highly flavored? This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a great night to die to yourself. Glory to the Lamb. Yes, it's a great night to die to ourselves. How many of y'all, every night's a great night to die? How about every day? Do you fear death? You know how many people fear death? I'm not trying to go out and kill myself or anything, but it's amazing the fear of death. You know why people fear death? Because they're uncertain where they're going to. That's why they fear death. And then people who don't fear death in the area without the Lord, they're just plumb nuts. Does everybody understand that? You know, there are many who are unbelievers who don't fear death, but then there's many unbelievers who do fear death. But they fear it in the wrong way. And in that, you know, so many people that are taken into captivity, you know, even when I was out in the world and I didn't know the Lord, but I feared death. I feared it because of the uncertainty of where I was going. I didn't know where I was going. And I sure didn't want to take the chance by assumption that I was a good person, because at that time I was not a good person. So I wasn't sure of a heaven and hell, but I always knew that there would be some. I mean, how could I go around living bad and evil even when they say they don't fear death? Yeah, I'll just be the baddest dude in hell. No, you'd be the biggest one on the rotisserie. Hallelujah. So in true reality, anybody who says they don't fear death, that's an unbeliever, is a liar. Amen? But in that, those of us who are true believers, if in that area where if we have a relationship truly with the Lord, it's not that we don't fear death, it's how are we going to die? How am I going to die? You know? But I can tell you can cast that care on the Lord right now. Because it doesn't matter how you're going to die. Amen? I believe all of us are going to go home, and none of us are going to taste death. But I really believe that we're all going to be raptured because we're so close to it. I didn't say we wouldn't go through stuff, because we will. But in that position and where we stand is what's going to happen at that time. Where are we? Where are we with God? Where are we in our relationship? Where are we? Are we more in the presence of sin? Are we lukewarm? Are we cold? All of these things are going to determine what happens on the day you either give up your last breath or the day the Lord returns. Amen? So in that, there's something that there's got to be a reality. There must come a point in time when there's a reality of captivity. Everyone say reality of captivity. How many of y'all know the world is in captivity? Amen. So if the world is in captivity, that means we're living in a place where there's captivity, isn't there? Amen. But it doesn't mean that you have to be involved in the captivity there. You know, where there's captivity, people become prisoners. Where people become prisoners, they become slaves. And the fruits of captivity is called bondage. So in this right now, even though we're living on the world in a place where there is captivity, because the world has been taken captive by Satan's kingdom. The world has been taken captive by Satan's kingdom. So if the world has been taken captive by Satan's kingdom, there must be a reality that we're living in a world that is taken captive by darkness. And deception is all around us. And we're being influenced. to associate with this captivity. How many know the devil wants to use you to get somebody else into captivity? And that's what he does. You know, he uses things in the world to get us into captivity so that we become a prisoner, we become a slave, and then the fruit of this is bondage. So there must be a reality of not only the captivity that the world is in, but what are the captivities of your life? What is the reality of your own captivity? Turn to Ephesians 4. You know, many people are taken captive and don't even know it. They don't even know it. They don't know that they're in a captivity. They have no idea. And there are things that cause us to move into captivity. And there are things that we inherit of captivity. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, would you read it with me? I therefore the what? Prisoner of the what? How many would rather be a prisoner of the Lord than a prisoner of the devil? Beseech you to what? I said what? Walk what? Walk worthy. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. What's your call? To what? To battle. Everybody's called to battle, aren't they? Amen? So in the area where God is calling you to battle, he says walk worthy in it. With all what? Lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Sound like he was Southern, huh? Let's go a little further. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was what? Given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led what? Captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower pits of the earth? Were they in captivity down there? Amen. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. He led captivity captive and gave gifts of truth. Again, when an individual is in captivity, he becomes a prisoner and a slave. He becomes a what? A prisoner and a slave. And one of the things he becomes a prisoner to is the presence of evil. He's a prisoner to it now. He is taken prisoner. Because in the captivity to which he was taken and placed in, there is now, he's a prisoner of the presence of evil. And in this, he becomes a slave to darkness. Does everybody got this? And there's only one way out. And, of course, who's the one that led captivity captive? Jesus. So there's only one way out, but he gave gifts of truth. These are truth. So now the only way out is through Christ Jesus. Now, when you become a prisoner of something, there are limitations. There's limitations. When you become a prisoner, in other words, we go into the prison all the time, and there's limitations. They can only go so far until there's another door. Nobody can get out. There's walls. There's whatever. So when you become a prisoner, you are set with limitations on your life. Is everybody okay? Now listen to this. Why are these limitations set? Because it only allows you to go so far. So even in our lives, we've got to begin to recognize these things. If there's a limitation on your life, it means that you've been taken captive in some part. You've not been released yet and don't even know it. And don't even know it. If there is a limitation on your life, you are a prisoner. But I'm a believer. Well, doesn't the devil want to imprison believers? Put them in captivity? But I believe in Jesus. I do this and I do that. Listen, the Bible says freedom's learned. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So in this, there may be something that your belief system is flawed. It may be something that you've inherited that you've never broke off. It may be something that you have agreed with and allowed in. And it may be something that you've just never been free from and don't even know it, where there's been a captivity, prisoner, a slave, and a fruit of bondage. Again, there are always limitations. And again, the only way out of captivity is with Christ Jesus, in which he brings truth. Captivity is a prisoner, then a slave. I want to say it again. When you come in captivity, you become a prisoner, then you become a slave. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? Amen. For men will be lovers of themselves. Why will these perilous times come? Because more people, the reality of captivity is going to be more exposed. There'll be so many people that are still in captivity that are just going to come out. And these are the bondages. In other words, these are the fruits of it. They'll be what? Lovers of what? Lovers of themselves. When an individual is always putting themselves first, you know that they're in captivity. Lovers of money. When you know that an individual puts money before God, that individual's in captivity. He's a prisoner and he's a slave. He's a prisoner to the presence of evil and is a slave to darkness, and the fruit of it is bondage. They're boasters. How about proud? Pride people. Amen. Blasphemers. You know, people blaspheme and don't even realize that they do. In other words, when you reject what God is doing, it's actually blasphemy. But then there's a final blasphemy, which is the unforgivable sin. And that's to reject Jesus when you die. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make what? Captives of what? Gullible women or men, loaded down with sins and led away with what? Various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, you know, gullible, you know, there's a lot of people that are very gullible. And the word gullible is associated with easily cheated or tricked. A person that's easily cheated or tricked. So what we can see here is this is outside influence, isn't it? It says that they will come in and they'll take people in captivity because they're gullible, okay, because they're easy. They don't know. You know, there's a lot of you hear about all these Ponzi scams and all of the stuff that's going on, and, you know, people getting burned left and right, and they're losing their life savings. Because of the false promises and now they've been taken captive. And how they've been taken captive in the area that now they're in debt. How many of you know that debt is captivity? And remember that the enemy is always trying to get us into captivity all the time. You know, one of the things he tries to get us to do is to sow into unfertile ground. Because he knows that what you sow you what? Reap. Remember, there are limitations always placed in an area. You know, it's amazing, and especially in the area in business too. People put money into business, but it's not going anywhere. You know why? Because there's captivity, there's gullible. There is a false hope. They keep putting money into something that doesn't produce anything. And they're hoping in God, and God saying, get out of there. What are you doing? Why are you so gullible? So in this, he's trying to rescue us who've been taken captives in this arena where there's limitations, where we become prisoners, and where we become slaves. Where there's captivity, you become a prisoner, and you become a slave. And the only thing that's being produced is bondage. Amen? And that is the fruit of it. Oh, hallelujah. This is associated with outside influence to you. Remember, he said that, and they came in, and they got these women into captivity, and they loaded them down with lust, or what we might call the presence of evil. Go to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. So here we saw demonic forces using people to bring them into captivity. These were demonic forces using people to bring them into captivity. And in this circumstance, they were captivity of lust or presence of evil. And this was outside influence. Amen? You know, did you ever go to, what do you call those people that they speak to encourage? You know, motivational speakers? Believe me, those people can put people into captivity. A motivational speaker. And there's nothing wrong with being encouraged. Amen? It's great to be encouraged. But my hope is that you're motivated by doing the will of God and not by motivated because of a man or woman who speaks. You must be motivated by God, not by anything else. Because if your motive isn't pure, if it's not true, if it's not right, then you've been taken captive. And you're in captivity. Has everybody got this? Amen? How about drugs and alcohol? Doesn't that take you into captivity? I mean, drugs and alcohol's got, you know, I mean, especially the drug dealers, man, they're motivational speakers. They got a deal for you. See, there's a difference between a God deal and a deal. Amen? So we've got to be careful on this because, you know, there's so many things that are going to be popping up all over the place. And they're happening right now. And many people are putting so much of their time and finances and effort in something that God's not called them to do. Now they're sowing in soil that's not fertile, and they can't get a, listen, if you can't get a harvest of something you've sown in, something ain't right. And this is where we fall into captivity. Because now there's deception. There's false hope. There's a false dream. All of these things that the enemy tries to portray. Because now what the enemy does is try to get us to seek to become rich. He tries to get us now in that arena to become rich. But we lose pure motive. We lose the motive, and now we're in captivity. And actually, now we're getting more and more in debt, and we're never getting out of it. In Romans 7, in verse 18. Hallelujah. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. That word there is spirit. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of the what? The law of sin. Now, this is an inward influence. The only way out is to overcome and be broke free through the anointing and truth. Has everybody got this? So there's an outward influence and there's an inward influence, and those are through your members. And Deuteronomy 30. And these influences desire to bring me and you into captivity. Deuteronomy 30. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 1. Let's read this together. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Now what is your soul? It is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations. Amen. That the Lord your God will bring you back from what? So who's the only one that can bring you back from captivity? It's the Lord. And have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will what? Prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that you may what? That you may what? Live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all he commands, which I command you today. So he talked about a curse or a blessing. In other words, there's either freedom or what? Captivity. And that's associated with obedience or disobedience, because disobedience brings us into captivity. Again, we become a prisoner, a slave, and then the fruit of that is bondage. Go to Luke 4. But he said something very important, obeying the voice of the Lord. And that's where so many times people walk out on an assumption, or they're obeying of man's voice instead of the voice of the Lord, and it brings them into captivity. And we must be very careful now. How many of you know that there's a time and a season for everything? You know, one thing I've learned tremendously is that God blesses with certain things, and he provides, and he allows fertile soil, and things begin to grow and have a harvest. And then when that harvest ceases, you know, we try to do all kinds of stuff to try to get it going again and whatever. And sometimes the Lord is just saying, it's not for that anymore. It's the end of that harvest. And I have another harvest for you, but it's not in that soil. Somebody got it. So, or what may happen is the seed needs to change. So in certain things, or it, something needs to change in that for that harvest to come about. But so many times we get caught into captivity, into routine and tradition, that we lose sight of what God is saying. And we wonder why it's not working. It's because the Lord is either putting an end to it or a way to it, a different way to doing it. So everybody got it. And so many times we get caught up in the same, in this captivity. And what grips us is fear. And the thing is the fear of losing what we've already started when it's already ended. When it's already ended. And man, you can do, it doesn't matter what you do, it will not produce a harvest. Unless you come in line with what God is saying what to do. That's why you must obey. Amen. Luke 4. All glory. That's why it's important in a multitude of counsel. There's what? Safety and wisdom. You know, if I was to tell my business partner, man, we need to get counsel on something, and he says no, I know he's in captivity. Why? Because he's not willing to allow it to be exposed, what needs to change. Hallelujah. Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 16. You know, even in marriages, there's something going on in a marriage. One says, let's get counseling. The other says, I ain't getting no counseling. I don't want no counseling. You kidding me? I'm fine. No, you're in captivity. Why? Because you're not willing to allow it to be exposed. What are you hiding and what are you afraid of? Well, I've been a believer 30 years. That's your problem. You believe in the same stuff which is keeping you in captivity. Luke 4, 16. So he came, Jesus, to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. And he is what? He's anointed me. For what? To preach the gospel, which is truth, isn't it? And he says to the poor, those are people that are going to receive. And to send me to what? Heal the brokenhearted. And to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives. And recovery of the sight to the blind. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So he said, listen, the anointing and the gospel is associated with two things. And that is the spiritual and the physical. So everybody got this? It is associated with the spiritual and the physical. In the physical, he was saying, set them free by what? Healing them. How many of you know sickness and disease is associated with the physical body? You know, when people get healed, they come out of captivity, don't they? Doesn't sickness and disease put limitations on people's lives? Amen. So we see that, and as he said, to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. How many all know you can be in captivity in the physical? And in the spiritual, he says, to bring recovery of the what? Sight, so they can spiritually what? See. And set at liberty those who are what? Oppressed by who? The devil. So we see that those are, in this arena, you see spiritual freedom. So there's physical freedom, and there is spiritual freedom. And of course, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and that is to prosper. Why? Because when you are free, are you able to prosper? Actually, it's prosper in the soul that gets you free. And we'll talk about that. Go to 3 John. Man, did you ever get around somebody who's walking in fear? Man, they sure act strange, don't they? Man, you get in a room with a bunch of people that are doing crack. You can fit 50 people on a welcome mat. Everybody's hiding from each other, from the demons and the shadows that are walking through the house. You want to see some people act strange with fear? Did you ever be, were you ever in a bar when the lights went on and the place was closing? You talk about demons? Whew. Everybody looks scared, even yourself, if you're in there. And 3 John in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you what? May prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So in this, your soul must prosper. He said, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? The truth that is in you just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So he's saying, listen, you're going to prosper if your soul prospers. Again, your soul is your mind, your will, emotions, imaginations. And the prosperity in the soul is going to be delivered to us by truth. That's why Jesus came, amen? Didn't he say he came and he was anointed? The anointing was with him? By truth. I didn't say tradition. I didn't say assumption. I said by truth. I didn't say false hope. I said by truth. In John chapter 8, verse 31. Let's read it together. 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Now, is the truth going to make you free if you don't practice it? Right, because you got to obey it, right? There's a lot of people who know the truth and don't obey it. They want to use the truth for their benefit, but not according to kingdom. Not according to kingdom business, but self-business. So he says, listen, if my word abides in you, and you're willing to follow, believe and do and put it into practice, it not only becomes truth, but it becomes a freedom of captivity. Go to verse 10. Now, there was a woman who was caught in adultery and they were about to stone her. And they brought her to Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, which one of you guys has it messed up? Throw the first stone, and they all dropped the stones. And verse 10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and do something. Sin no more. Sin what? No more. Why? Because if she sinned again, was it going to bring her in captivity? Yes. It's amazing how many times somebody thinks, Jesus freed me. Now I can just, I'm cool. Now I just need to go to church, and get a job and do this. No, he says, don't sin anymore. Because if you sin again, you'll go back into captivity. Let me ask you this. Is disobedience sin? And sin is the presence of evil, isn't it? So what he's saying, you're associating with the presence of evil. Why? Because the fruit of the presence of evil is disobedience. Because the fruit of the presence of evil is always to be rebellious towards God. So we have an outward influence and an inward influence. And the thing that you and I must come to understand is that there must be a reality of captivity, that there is a captivity. And if you die in captivity, where do you go? Romans 8. In verse 14. Let's read it together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, if you're led by the Spirit of God, will you be obedient or disobedient? You know, it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through things. Because even the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be what? Tempted. But it was for his victory. It was to prove a point. It was to set things in motion. He had to face the devil. And everyone here must face the devil face to face. You can't run from him. You must face him. And you must overcome him. Just like Jesus did. Verse 15. He said, for you did not receive the spirit of what? Bondage again to what? To fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Fear, the bondage that keeps people in captivity because they don't believe the truth. And the word believe means to what? Follow. And they can't see the place of their captivity, which is associated with their soul. Either mind, emotions, memory. Go to John chapter 2. How many of you know a false desire can put you into captivity? Because you're chasing something that's not God. You know, many people say, well, the Lord says, if I ask and touch and agree, it comes to pass. Well, they need to read more scriptures. Because he says, if it's my will. I mean, don't you, everybody here who's a believer should say, Lord, if this is your will, I'm going to touch and agree with. And we should be praying that it is his will. But how are you going to know it if you don't have a relationship? If you're not practicing truth, how are you going to really know what his will is? That's why people marry the wrong people. That's why people invest in the wrong jobs, the wrong markets. That's why people do the things that they do, because they don't really know. They just do it because they feel, it feels good. I don't feel good no more. When you married the wrong person and you're playing all kinds of alimony and all kinds of stuff, it don't feel good no more. Or you've invested in something and it's not produced anything. Hallelujah. And John chapter 2 and verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Now wait a minute. He used something to drive them out. What did he use? He used a whip. He used a whip to drive them out. So there was something that he utilized as a weapon to drive them out. And verse 14, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. All out of the temple. With the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away and do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Very, very profound. Awesome. Why? Because the temple is associated with himself and relationship to those who would follow him. And relationship to those who would follow him that would carry his presence, his truth, and his power. See, he went to the temple to vindicate. Everyone say vindicate. He went to the temple to vindicate the physical with the spiritual. So he did it physically, didn't he? He vindicated his father's temple. Why? Because he was about to get vindicated, wasn't he? He was going to get raised from the dead. But it was also going to be a place where things would be vindicated for me and you. But there first must be a reality of captivity. We must first realize that there is captivity right there, always trying to keep us as a prisoner and a slave. And Jesus was actually, you know, if you think about it, he was in captivity in one way or another in the earth, wasn't he? And the only way he was going to get out was to die. See, so that's why it says that he descended to set the captives free, but first he had to be free with his own death. Then he can go free the others and get released from captivity. But prior to that, because Jesus, you know, the word is precept upon precept. The Lord, remember, only God, even with the seven feasts of the Lord, only Jesus can fulfill them. Amen? So what he was getting ready to do was fulfill the first three feasts. Because he's the only one that can fulfill them. So he told them about the tabernacle. That's why he said, "On the way, the truth, and the life." Well, they didn't like that. Because it was a representation of their temple, their tabernacle. And he said, "I'm going to destroy this in 3 days, and then I'm going to raise it." And they're like, "You're out of your mind. It took us 46 years to build it." But he was not talking about the physical of the temple building. He was talking about the physical of me and you. See, first he had to vindicate the temple and the physical by kicking everything out. Then he can vindicating me and you. Was the temple itself in captivity? Yeah. It was in captivity to bondage, wasn't it? Why? They were selling merchandise. That's why Jesus went in there to turn over everything and kick everything over. The temple was Jesus himself. And again, in relationship to his followers there were carry his presence, truth, and power. He went to the temple to vindicate, again, the physical with spiritual, and the spiritual with physical. Again, vindication is associated with defend for the cause. It is to clear from guilt or an area of restore what's been taken. So Jesus first had to go into the temple and vindicate what his father was getting ready to do. Let's go to Psalm 43. How many of y'all need vindication from captivity? First, you got to acknowledge that you're in captivity. What are you captive in? What is it? How many of y'all know addiction is captivity? How about pornography? Amen. Those are fruits of bondages, but in that, that's captive, isn't there? There's captivity. We first must acknowledge that there is a captivity. See, you can do all the rituals and all the things, but if you can't acknowledge that there's a captivity first, you can't get free. Well, I only smoke on weekends. I only fornicate from Friday to Sunday. Then I repent every Sunday night. Doesn't work that way. You in captivity, money. But I love money. Well, your money, you're not supposed to serve money. Money's to serve you. If you got to chase money all over the place, then you're in captivity. Money should be chasing you. Amen? Psalm 43, is everybody there? All glory. In verse 1, let's read it together. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against a what? Ungodly nation. Is an ungodly nation in captivity? Yes. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength, and why do you cast me off? And why do I groan mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Because he's in captivity. Oh, send out your what? Your light and your truth. He knows this is his only way out. Let them what? Lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Again, there must be a reality of captivity until vindication is activated. And it is activated by truth and light. Now, truth is light. Light is life. The world is in captivity. And, of course, there is prisoners and slaves. They're controlled by the arenas of the things that bring people in bondage, like pornography and things to that degree. So please understand, you want vindication from captivity. Vindication from captivity comes by eating truth and light, which brings life. As you become obedient and fall in line with the things of God, and decree captivity, because there's a reason to decree captivity, because you were bought. You were bought. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 6. You know, we can get so caught up and there's nothing wrong with binding and loosening and everything in warfare, because warfare is essential. But then there's a point in time where it's like, man, I just need some vindication. But if you're practicing the truth, if you're not practicing the truth, are you qualified for vindication? No. Because if you're not practicing the truth, you're practicing something else, aren't you? A lie. Which puts you in captivity. So if you're practicing something that's keeping you in captivity, can God get you out of captivity? Not until you win. Begin to practice truth. It's like somebody in a swimming pool who's swimming in the pool and they're saying, I need to get dry. I need to get dry. I need to get dry. But they're still in the pool. Are they going to get dry? No, not until what? They come out of the pool. In verse 19, read it with me. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Everyone say, I'm not my own. Then why will we make a decision without him? For you were what? Bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, we were bought, we're not our own. And if you're bought and you're not your own, and you're doing the right thing, that gives you the right to cry out for vindication. Lord, vindicate me. But remember when he, the psalmist said, Lord, vindicate me, what did he say? Send your truth and your light and it will lead me. Why? Because that was going to cause him to be to doing it, right? He was going to be led by the Spirit then. It was going to cause him to practice what is righteous. He was going to do the truth. And it qualified him to be vindicated. Go to chapter 7. Now, when you're asking for vindication, you need to know what you've been taken captive. What's your captivity? What are you going to say? Oh, Lord, vindicate me. From what? I don't know. How about me? So you got to have a reality of what the captivity is. Has everybody got it? Reality of the captivity. In chapter 7 and verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the what? Commandments of God is what matters. Does that mean obedience? Does that mean practicing the truth? Does that mean hearing God? Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of what? Men. That means become a man pleaser. Be flattered by what man says. False promises. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Keeping the truth and practicing the truth will allow you to recognize the reality of captivity and be released from being a slave because you qualify for vindication. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Is that walking in truth? Amen. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also will be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin or the presence of evil. Is that in captivity also? Yes. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, as having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Therefore, you also what? Reckon yourselves dead. Everyone say, I'm dead. Indeed, to sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you're dead to sin, truly, if you agree that you are dead to sin, are you practicing the truth? Amen. But if you're not dead to sin, are you practicing the truth? No. Does that qualify you or disqualify you for vindication? It disqualifies you for vindication. Amen. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And grace means under his plan. So you got to remember that his plan is associated with truth. Truth is light. Light is life. And that's what the psalmist was doing when he was crying out for vindication. Send your truth and send your light. Why? Because he realized he had been taken in captivity. And he wanted out. But he had to begin to practice the truth so he can come out of vindication. Or else there's limitations. Amen? There's limitations. And no matter what you do, it will not bring a harvest until there's that freedom from it. Why? Because doesn't the devil come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, hallelujah. Let's close in Ephesians 5. That's why the Bible says, make no place to the devil. So if you're not practicing the truth, are you making place to the devil? Yeah. Then he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So how can God vindicate us if we're still allowing the devil to steal, kill, and destroy and keep us in captivity? We got to first realize there must be a reality of captivity. How many of y'all know your mouth can put you in captivity? Amen, because what you speak is what you get. Hallelujah. So again, it's important that there be a reality is, what is my captivity? Do I rob God in tithes and offerings? Do I sow money in places I'm not supposed to sow? Am I putting things in front of my eyes, ears, or whatever it may be? What is it? Where's the reality of captivity? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Let's repeat that one. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Again, we are to expose the reality of captivity and proclaim your vindication. So everybody got it? Again, you cannot proclaim vindication if you're not obedient. Now, this does not change the love of God towards us, does it? He loves us unconditionally. He doesn't change. But there are things that get between us. Amen? Look, you can go to 40 Bible studies a week and still choose not to practice the truth and be stubborn and rebellious. Because there's not a heart change. You and I must be willing to do whatever it takes, no matter what. We must be willing to give up what needs to be given up. We must be willing to turn when he says turn. We must be willing to stop when he says stop. We must be willing to go when he says go. Why? Because either we're pleasing man or we're pleasing God. Even when the disciples were told, man, you can't preach Jesus, they said, well, listen here. And they knew they'd go through persecution. He said, look, we're going to do the things that please God, not you. Not you. Were they vindicated? Yes, they were vindicated. Because they chose the will of God instead of the will of man. Again, you must have a reality of what are the things that are keeping you captive so that we can be free and we can prosper and allow the hand of God to vindicate us, restore and clear up things. You know, sometimes there's things that God is clearing up in your life from your past because you're starting to practice truth. So he's automatically vindicating you. And you wonder why all of a sudden old court cases come up or something like that. Now that can also be in the opposite way. Because he might have erased them already and now they're coming up again because the enemy is bringing them up. Amen. So again, get a reality of what the captivity is. Obey the voice of God. Walk in the truth. Practice the truth. And declare your vindication. And it will come to pass. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And I ask that the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let each and every one in this room get revelation and impartation. Because the enemy is out to bring captivity. And to anyone who's gullible, anyone who's practicing unrighteousness, and anyone who is self-willed. So, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in any areas of our life that we have implemented this in ourselves and disqualified us for any vindication. We repent and choose to practice the truth and obey your voice that we may qualify for vindication as we acknowledge the reality of our captivities and give Jesus all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.